July 12th. It's 3:04 in Eastern Iowa. Welcome in. This is Mark Dukes alongside Alex Kuhn. He's filling in for Scott Unash this week, normally our producer, but filling in admirably. And you're telling me this is kind of a dead period, tomorrow especially, in sports for deadline or headlines. And you always seem to draw this week.
Every year since I've been in radio, I'm on. I think that the most dead day in sports talk is the day before the All-Star game. So that would have been yesterday. And then the day after, the day of is as well. But every single year, I'm on for all three of those days.
Scott Unash, not stupid.
No.
He's on vacation right now and enjoying a much-deserved respite. Down south somewhere at a location we won't disclose, but I know he's having a good time. He'll be back next week, and before you know it, he'll be preparing for high school football season and the like. Actually, tomorrow you're going to be diving into some football, and Todd Brommelkamp's going to sit in with me.
That is right. We'll all be down in Iowa City. The players will be meeting with the media. They've done it. They did this earlier in June, I believe. The Iowa football players met with the media to talk about their summer, and they're going to do it one more time before we meet with them in Chicago. The three players that will be there, C.J. Beathard, Desmond King, and Josie Jewell. And then Iowa football media day is on August the 6th. So we are just about ready to dive into football, and I could not be more happy.
I think a lot of people would concur in that regard, but it is still baseball season. And a lot of interesting storylines going on there. And Cal Eldred, we'll talk about the division races, maybe first half honors, a breakdown the All-Star game tonight, as much as it can be broken down. A lot of players going to sit out either because of injuries or other reasons. Principally, you know, that was a really, really impressive National League starting pitching staff that was announced. But now, of course, Clayton Kershaw, Steven Strasburg, Noah Syndergaard, Madison Bumgarner, the Giants, none of them will see action tonight. And perhaps Jake Arrieta won't either. So I originally favored the National League, but I'm not so sure now.
And this game matters. We're not going to see any of the best pitchers on the National League side, yet this game is going to decide home field advantage. Oh, you know what? I'm not even going to start that. I'm not going to start that. That's absolutely ridiculous, but that's an argument we've had too many times, and I don't want to get into it.
Where does the All-Star game rank in terms of major sports All-Star competitions? Is it still right up there?
It's the best All-Star game.
Yeah.
And obviously,
NFL is the worst, right?
By far.
Yeah.
Football being put together in a week into an All-Star format, it doesn't work. I think the Pro Bowl should have been eliminated a long time ago, personally, but no, I think the Major League Baseball All-Star game is the best, but I think it was also the best before it mattered.
Mm.
I thought that when we just brought it up, there's nothing going on in the sports world this time of year. So the Major League Baseball All-Star game, the sports world sort of stops, takes a breath, and tunes into the All-Star game.
Mm-hmm.
It has always been like that. No matter what the format was, when the National League was dominating, when the American League was dominating, when the starters were playing 7 or 8 innings, it has always been the Midsummer Classic. So I thought that making it count maybe it added a little bit more to the game, but as far as competition-wise, but I still thought that the Major League Baseball All-Star game was the most tuned into and the most entertaining All-Star game of the four major sports.
I'm not sure how much of a classic it is now in terms of Midsummer Classic, but certainly the Midsummer Contest. And what do you think? 319-366-1600, our Guppies on the Go text line. When you're on the go, we definitely want to know. How much of the Home Run Derby did you watch last night?
I was in and out of it. I'd say I caught the last two rounds or so.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that the format last year gave it a nice little fresh scent to the event, but this year I was back to being bored with it. And I thought Giancarlo Stanton put on a heck of a show. I wasn't bored from a standpoint of watching these guys hit home runs, but there's only a certain a certain amount of Chris Berman I can take, a certain amount of back I can take, and it's just, I think from that standpoint, it was back to being just the home run derby.
61 home runs for Stanton in the three rounds, 39 of which went, I think, like 440 or more, or 420 or more, something like that. Prodigious shots.
It was the second round or the semifinals. He hit 17 home runs. Mm-hmm. 14 of them went 440 plus feet, which is back. We're watching something with him. We were talking about it in the sports office before we came on the air. He is the kind of athlete that Major League Baseball wants to have in their game and not lose to football or basketball. Big, strong, can hit the ball further than pretty much anybody in baseball.
Dave Winfield type.
Absolutely. Yeah. Dave Winfield. I think Yasiel Puig has the raw ability to be that as well. But it was good to see him finally showcase his power because he kind of flopped in the last couple of home run derbies he was in. And last night, did we both predict that he was going to win?
You did. I didn't really pick anybody. I said I was going to favor Mark Trumbo, who had a nice comeback in the first round and then got eliminated. But Stanton beat poor Robinson Cano in the first round. Cano looked like a fish out of water.
I did not catch the first round. I got home just – how many home runs did he hit any?
Four.
Four. Oh.
Yeah.
And he – you remember the show he put on in his first home run
derby?
Yeah,
true.
It was outstanding.
True. Anyway, this home run derby is just okay in my mind. It's just okay.
Agreed.
Go ahead.
It's like and I thought that the slam dunk competition last year was very good, but it's like the slam dunk competition in the sense that
you don't get the stars competing.
You don't get the stars competing, and for the slam dunk competition in the NBA, how many more slam dunks can we actually see? And in Major League Baseball, even more to the degree of at what point does seeing a home run, at what point is seeing a home run, when does that become just seeing another home run? And how many home runs can you see before you kind of get bored?
Well, when it goes out of the park, that's something special.
It is, but when you see 50 of them by one guy, you kind of become desensitized to it. At least I did.
Poll question at KGYMradio.com. We'll have that for you in just a minute while I ask you to pick the winner of the All-Star game tonight. We're going to be joined by Cal Eldred, a former major leaguer, who joins us every Tuesday, courtesy of Kurt Gustafson Insurance, and interested to get Cal Eldred's thoughts on not only the game tonight, but the second half of the Major League Baseball season, because I think it's going to be very interesting. We got some races that, the American League East is the closest right now. All other divisions are the leader has a 5.5 game lead or more, and that can evaporate in a hurry. There's no question about that. But we'll see who's going to be best equipped to enter the second half and make a run to either a division championship or a wild card berth. Tomorrow we're going to be pleased to be out and about once again, part of the Lunchbox Heroes program. We're going to be at Cargill West, myself, Todd, Tyler, yourself, Alex, and the rest of the station crew. I understand it's going to be around 100 workers, and it's going to be a warm one out there tomorrow, but we're excited to get out there and feed them lunch and have some conversation and see what's going on in the quarter.
We've had 2 weeks off from it, so I'm excited to get back out there. But yeah, exactly. We'll have a recap of Lunchbox Heroes tomorrow on the APC.
Brought to you by Built by Pros and several other terrific sponsors. You can access that at our website, KGYMradio.com. News, British Open begins on Thursday, and just a piece of news out of there today, a couple pieces actually. Rory McIlroy kind of criticizing the PGA Tour and golf in general in regards to their drug policy. And as I understand it, only urine tests are administered and not blood tests, and Rory kind of challenged golf to get with the program, so to speak. And then Jordan Spieth, who earlier announced he is not going to compete in the Olympics, was asked if he's going to participate in the John Deere, which is the same weekend as the Olympic competition. And Jordan said no, even though he's the defending champion at the John Deere and got his first PGA Tour victory at the Deere. He said he didn't think it would be appropriate to play there. And Claire Peterson, the organizer of that event, has been informed and said he understands. So interesting news out of Spieth and McIlroy, who two guys who are, I would say, probably going to contend for the Open Championship this week. 1260 on the text line, two words, teammate tandem derby. Best tandems for a home run derby.
Can we make this into, here, let's combine two ideas with this. We'll have a player and then the best hitting pitcher.
Oh.
With him. There's been a lot of talk about having a pitcher's home run derby.
Chris Bryant, Jake Arrieta.
And I guess whoever's in the home run derby, taking it a step further, can pick the pitcher that they want. It doesn't have to be a pitcher from their team. So whoever, let's just say Mark Trumbull, he can pick Madison Bumgarner if he'd like. I don't know. Do we have something here?
It's an interesting concept. I don't see it happening.
No, I don't either.
But if
they take this a step further and make it into a teammate home run derby, let's combine either the player with a pitcher or let's say the prospects. The futures game is the day before the home run derby.
That's true.
They're still, well, some of them do leave that day, but some of them are still around. Let's get the most powerful prospects out there. Could you imagine Miguel Sano a few years ago in the home run derby?
What tandem would you like to see? Player and player, teammate, teammate. Like McCovey and Mays, fence busters back in the day.
You mean right now?
Yeah. Norman Killebrew, Bob Allison for my Twins.
The Bryant and Rizzo combination would be pretty tough.
Pretty
to
lethal,
beat.
Yeah.
Cano and Nelson Cruz.
That's a good one.
That'd be pretty tough to beat as well. Those are just a couple that come to mind.
Interesting concept. Again, I don't see it happening, but home run derbies in the books. Giancarlo Stanton is your winner. He was pleased to do that because he wasn't selected to the All-Star team. And Tyler Ryder reminded me that he's had a pretty horrible start to the season, at least in May and June.
And he's definitely picked it up recently. He's up to 20 home runs. His average around 230, so he's picking it up. I like the fact that they took a couple of guys. They didn't used to do that. If you weren't in the All-Star game, a lot of times you weren't included in the home run derby. I think that started when Ryan Howard won the home run derby in Pittsburgh, and then the next year he wasn't an All-Star. They brought him to San Francisco to defend his title. So I like the fact that they brought back Todd Frazier, even though he's not an All-Star. They brought in Giancarlo Stanton, even though he's not an All-Star. The next step, I do want to see Miguel Sano in a home run derby.
35-58, Napoli and Santana for a duel. Not bad there either. Hey, let's get to break, and we'll bring in Cal Eldred, talk a little baseball, the All-Star game, the second half of the Major League season, next on the Gym Class.
Saving energy is great for the planet, and it's also good for you because it saves you money. Here are some helpful tips from Linn County REC to help you do both this summer.
Install a programmable thermostat to save energy by adjusting temperatures based on your schedule. To optimize your savings, set the thermostat to 78 when you're home and 85 when you're away.
Change the filter on your air conditioner monthly. Dirty filters cause the system to run longer and work harder, increasing energy use.
If your air conditioner is more than 10 years old or in need of repair, consider replacing it with a new Energy Star rated unit. Energy Star air conditioners are 15% or more efficient than standard models.
Don't want to use air conditioning? Install Energy Star certified ceiling fans. Ceiling fans make you feel cooler, reducing the need for air conditioning.
Make a change for the greener this year. Become more energy efficient and save money. Log on to LynnCountyREC.com for helpful information.
You know that Airgas USA, LLC, is one of the nation's leading suppliers of industrial, medical, and specialty gases. But did you know we also carry welding and safety supplies, hardware and tools, and offer MRO products and services to industrial and commercial vendors? We do, and we have a location right here in Cedar Rapids on C Avenue Northeast. So the bottom line, Airgas USA LLC has gas, welding, and safety supplies. We're 30 years strong and getting stronger. See us at airgas.com.
You'll probably find them either on the golf course or at the bowling alley. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, the Gym Class on KGYM.
319, welcome back to the Gym Class. Mark Dukes alongside Alex Kuhn today and the rest of this week. Scott Unash takes a much-deserved vacation. Congratulations to all the area teams that advanced to the state softball tournament last night. More action in 5A and 4A tonight as such teams as Prairie, Kennedy, Jefferson, and Iowa City West, along with Xavier in 4A, go after state tournament berths. Thursday we'll have Jeff Linder on to preview that state tournament. Again, poll question today, KGYMradio.com. Ask you to pick the winner of the Major League All-Star Game. And by the way, we'll have that for you. 6 o'clock from the pregame as the Afternoon Players Club takes an early exit to yield to coverage of the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. That can be heard on all three frequencies, 1600 AM, 107.5 FM, and 106.3 FM. Ready to bring in Cal Eldred, our favorite baseball guy. Are you back in Iowa, Cal?
No, actually I'm not. I'm down in rather warm Arizona.
Ah, what's going on down there?
Well, actually, at this point, we are getting close to the deadline for the kids who are drafted to be signed. And so we've got even more kids. We had a mini camp about 2 weeks ago with most of the kids who were drafted, and now we've got more kids coming in. And we have the Arizona League, which is a rookie ball league that takes place at our spring training complex. So there's another team down here playing. We're adding kids, and so we're introducing kids to professional baseball and working here at the lowest level.
Another cycle begins. That's good stuff. Did you watch the home run derby last night?
I did watch some of it. We had a 7 o'clock game here last night, but we did watch some of it, and it was quite a show put on by Stanton.
You like the format?
I guess I kind of like it a little bit better than guys deciding whether they're going to be a part of it or not. I think taking the top home run hitters now and during the season, it may give some guys an opportunity to be in the contest that wouldn't. And even though, you know, even Stanton wasn't an all-star this year, Frazier wasn't either, but those are two guys that obviously have the home run swing going this year, so why not?
Let's look at the All-Star Game for a bit tonight, Cal. Of course, some players selected and not going to participate. It'll be Sale against, Cueto tonight as the starters. But the National League, I thought, in my mind originally, I looked at the National League staff and said, wow, how is the American League going to score? But now Kershaw and Strasburg and Baumgartner and Syndergaard and the like, maybe even Arrieta, won't see the hill. So what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I took a look at that too, Mark, and the thing I agree. Once I saw who was on there initially, I'm like, oh my goodness, this is going to be a nightmare for the American League hitters. But because of who's there, and I compare not just the starters but the bullpen, and I'm trying to decide, you know, which way do I go? And I think the starters kind of become a toss up because of who is on those teams who are actually going to get a chance to play. But then I look at the bullpens and I go, to me, the American League has the advantage in the bullpen. And you know, most of the time, that's essentially what this game comes down to, especially now that, you know, the managers are picking those guys in the bullpen. So I actually feel that the American League, starting pitching is a toss-up, but the American League has a hands up in the bullpen.
Cal, if you could change one thing about the All-Star Game, what would you change?
Very simple. I would simply change. We can argue all day long about how players are voted in, but I would go back to the fact that this is an exhibition game. It's something that's fun. It's something that's cool and that the fans can enjoy, the players can enjoy. It's supposed to be an honor to be there and a time to have a blast. And I would take away the fact that this determines home field advantage in the World Series, no question.
I'm really surprised that hasn't been revisited before now, Cal.
You know, I'm telling you, Mark, there's not one that, let me put it this way, I have a hard time. I haven't found one executive, coach, manager, player that thinks that that's a good idea. That's the one thing. I mean, Bud Selig's made a lot of changes in baseball that have been fantastic. Some that I don't know that I'm really in favor for, and now I think there have been good changes, but this is one that, no way. I just cannot believe it hasn't been changed either, Mark, and it's something that just does not make sense.
Cal, if you don't mind, let's go through the six divisions and, you know, your thoughts on the first half and what may happen on the second half, okay?
You bet.
All right, let's start in the American League, the East. Baltimore has a two-game lead over Boston and Toronto. The Yankees, kind of a stretch at 500, 7.5 back. What are your thoughts on the first half and then looking at the second half?
Well, in the American League, you know, you look at the top. I guess I thought, really, I didn't see Baltimore doing what they've done. I knew they were going to be good. I think offensively they made some good decisions in the offseason as the guys that they signed. Trumbo's been fantastic for them. But better than he even thought maybe he was going to do. But that ballpark really plays for him. That ballpark plays for their lineup. My question for them is, can they keep up the pitching? The Yankees actually of late have played better. But the two teams that I think are going to have a say, and I know a lot of you guys have picked a lot of us picked Toronto. You know, the Toronto's been getting some pretty good starting pitching. And if they can continue to do that, they're going to score a lot of runs. Boston's just been scoring so many runs that undone some of the bad stuff their starting pitching has done. Boston needs to go out and get a starter. Toronto, if they do the same thing, they've got a chance to win that division again. So Tampa Bay, I guess, has been a bit of a disappointment for me. But the way I look at it, that's going to be a heck of a race yet because I really feel like the Yankees are going to play better, but you can't have four teams playing better in a division because sooner or later they're going to start beating up on each other. So you're going to start choosing a few. And I look at what Baltimore, I just think Boston and Toronto are going to continue to play well and probably be the top two teams at the end of this.
In the Central, Cleveland, arguably one of the surprises of the American League, if not in all of baseball, they have a 6.5 game lead and played extremely well the first half. But you've got three teams right behind them. In Kansas City, Detroit, and Chicago that are capable. And then I think that I'm not being parochial about it, but I think the Twins are playing better and could be a spoiler. So what do you see there?
Well, Mark, the Twins have been the best team in the American League Central in the last 10 days.
Yeah.
I mean, they have. And they've scored some runs. They've kind of overcome some of their pitching woes. But, you know, the pitching that Cleveland has, the defense that they have been able to play enables their young offense to score enough runs and be able to stay in a lot of these ball games and win at the end. That's the question I have for Cleveland is, you know, can they continue to do this as they did in the first half? They've had a little bit of a dip, but I still think that their starting pitching is probably the best starting pitching in the Central. But you know, I think listening to Scott, guys, I think he was kind of counting out his own Chicago White Sox.
It was a long time.
But, yeah, the Kansas City Royals have come back to them. Kansas City's injuries, I know Ned Yost doesn't want to use that as an excuse, but that's a reality. They've had a lot of injuries into their lineup, to their pitching, and that's really hurt. Now they've got Davis out, that's not good for us. So this division, there's no question. And Detroit has played much better. So Detroit, are they going to add? I think they need to add pitching. The Royals need a starter. You know, we'd love to have that. But Cleveland's going to be tough to catch. And my question is, I wasn't buying the Chicago White Sox either, guys, but I thought Sale might be pitching for somebody else for the second half of this season. But now the question is for them, do they add so they can stay in this race?
One of the things I love in the American League is Houston is going to catch Texas. After watching Texas' pitching staff against the Twins, they've got issues there, Cal.
Yeah, they really do. And Texas, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong, offensively they are extremely strong. But I think what's happened, and we were, you know, I know we talked about this early in the season, is Houston going to have this hangover from what they've done the last year, year and a half, and 2 years? But Houston has finally started to pitch better. They've scored runs. Their offense, they hadn't played well. Dallas Keuchel's pitching better. They've got their bullpen starting to get figured out. And their momentum, once they get going, they're young, they're energetic. I think they can overcome the fact that they've been to the playoffs and that exhaustion. So now the question is, they're used to this. They know what the second half is all about. Texas, no question, Mark, they're pitching. They've got some issues there, and they need some help. So once again, you look at how many teams have I already named that need starting pitching. And I think Texas is one of those teams. They could use another arm in their bullpen. And Seattle, I just can't quite figure those guys out. They just keep – they're just kind of floating along. So I think really in the West, this is a two-team race. And I think at this moment, I really like Texas. I think they're a good club, but I don't know if they can hang on because Houston's been they've won 19 of the last 21 or some ridiculous number like that. So they've been a good club.
Cal Eldred joining us on the Gym Class at 3:30 today. National League, Cal, let's turn to that league and look at the East. Washington with a 6-game lead over New York and Miami. May not win the division, but I like the Marlins making a move in the second half. What do you think?
Well, the Marlins are helped by some moves that they've made in the offseason. They hung on to Ozuna. He's a guy that's really helped him out. He's going to be an all-star. Obviously, it was an injury that got him in there. Stanton has not really swung the bat that well in the first half, but is starting to make some changes. Obviously, he can hit home runs in a home run derby, but the Mets pitching has had their woes. Philadelphia, you know what? I think Philadelphia is actually exceeding the expectations that I had for them.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of this, they've got some young arms that have been doing well. I think they're going to kind of stay where they're at. Atlanta, what a struggle they've had. And they're in that. I think they just need to flat out admit they're in a rebuilding process, whether they trade Tehran or not. I'm not sure whether that's the right thing to do. But the Washington Nationals are starting to figure this out. And if they could get Gio Gonzalez straightened out, then I really think that they're in a great position to add. Whether it's the bat they need off the bench, whether it's Harper playing better, and whether it's another starting pitcher, they're in a great place to add to be almost in a position to walk away with this. But the Marlins, having Fernandez back at the top of that rotation, really helps that club.
We'll save the Central for last. In the West, the Giants have played extremely good in recent weeks, 8-2 in the last 10, and hold a 6.5 game lead over the Dodgers. Dodgers making a bid, and I think we'll probably be there the rest of the season for at least a wild card. So this is a two-team race, right?
No question. Colorado, San Diego, and the Diamondbacks, they're all San Diego and Arizona, really in a somewhat of a rebuilding phase. I know the Diamondbacks went out. They have Goldschmidt. They went out and got Greinke, got Shelby Miller in that trade. But they're not completely ready to be there yet, and they've underachieved. So San Diego's rebuilding. Colorado, they just don't have the firepower that they need from their pitching. But the Dodgers, I agree, Mark. I think they're going to hang in there, probably be a wild card, especially if they can get Kershaw back in their rotation. Their pitching's getting healthier. But San Francisco, man, they have been cruising. And if they stay healthy, they can, once again, they're in a position, they don't have to go add a starting pitcher. They are add a starting pitcher, the starting pitcher they needed when they signed Johnny Cueto. And Cueto's exceeded expectations even for them. But they went out and got Samardzija, they went out and got Cueto. They've helped the rotation, and they got that ace at the top, Bumgarner. And by signing those guys, it takes pressure off him, and he just continues to perform better. So two-team race looks like the Giants. I mean, I know there's a lot of baseball left, but the Giants are going to be tough to catch for the Dodgers.
Central Division, Cal, everybody wants to know your thoughts on the Cubs, kind of limping to the finish at the All-Star break, but still an extremely capable team. Arrieta, I think he needs to get straightened out a little bit, and I don't see any reason why he can't. But you got to hand it to the Cardinals and Pirates who continue to hang in, I guess. So what's going to determine this division winner in the second half?
Well, obviously it's not going to – Cincinnati and Milwaukee can have something to do with it. It just depends on who they match up with and whether they sneak in and beat one of these three teams, beat up on them. But I don't – the Pirates are playing better. The Cardinals are playing a little bit better. So those two teams, you can see they were at double digits behind the Cubs. The Cubs have come back to them a little bit. And part of that is not only the Cubs have struggled some – but also that St. Louis and Pittsburgh are playing better. Now, if you look at the Cubs' schedule, I think this is what's really gotten them. They played 24 straight games. They had an off day that they had to fill in a game. 24 straight games going into the break. And they've got a lot of expectations on them. John Lackey hasn't pitched as good for them. You know, they may actually have to go out and add to the rotation. And that sounds crazy, I know, because to a lot of Cub fans, but I think that may be something they need to do. They didn't think they're going to have to do that. They thought maybe they'd add to their bullpen. And the Cubs have the money to do both. And if they want to walk away with this thing, I think that's what they need to do. But St. Louis isn't going anywhere. They're going to continue to play well. I don't know that they have the firepower to catch up. But the Pittsburgh Pirates seem to me to be probably a bigger threat to the Cubs than the St. Louis Cardinals at the moment.
Cal, speaking of the St. Louis Cardinals, they've had some issues in the back end of the bullpen. Trevor Rosenthal has struggled, or they might be even closer to the Chicago Cubs. Alex Reyes had a heck of an outing in the Futures game, throwing around 100 miles an hour. How enticing is he going to be for John Mozeliak in the front office to bring him up as the back end to put him in the back end of the bullpen in the second half?
Well, I know Alex extremely well, and he always wanted to be a starting pitcher. That's what the organization has seen him, the slot that they see him. But in the past, Alex, you're right. We've put Adam Wainwright in the bullpen, and he served well when he was coming back. The one common denominator with Alex is that he does not throw enough strikes, and he throws hard. I mean, this kid will throw. 98, average 98 over 5 or 6 innings for 100 pitches. And their biggest issue with him is will he throw enough strikes to use him at the back end of the bullpen? That's been part of Trevor Rosenthal's issue. He gets behind in the count and hitters get after him. They would love to be able to have him at the end of their bullpen, but I think their hesitation is the fact, does he throw enough strikes?
Alex put together some first-half awards. I wasn't prepared for that end of it, so I'll let him ask you a couple things in that regard.
That'd be great.
All right. Cal, who do you have as your first-half NL MVP?
I obviously haven't jumped into all the numbers, but I'll ask you, who do you have?
I've got Clayton Kershaw, and I think Chris Bryan has had a heck of a first half, but what Kershaw, I know he's on the DL right now, but it's hard to go against him.
Well, here's Mark, that leads us to our question, you know, can a pitcher be a MVP?
Mm-hmm.
But Kershaw may have single-handedly kept the Dodgers in there. There's no question with the way that he has pitched. But with the changes that Bryant has made, those are two guys that there's no question that they've had that kind of a year. And I can't argue with you. You know, Harper's not in that conversation right now. Rizzo, not quite. I think the MVP, I may agree with you. I'm going to give Kershaw the pitching, the Cy Young in the beginning, and I'll give Bryant the MVP. But one of the biggest MVPs on there, one of his teammates is a guy that I think has been an MVP for that club in lots of different ways, not just in statistics, and that's Ben Zobrist. I think he's been more than what they thought he would even be.
How about American League?
Well, man, I'll tell you what. You look at Trout, you look at Machado, you have the sympathy vote with David Ortiz. But, guys, I'll tell you what, Jose Altuve, what he does for the Houston Astros, and you just watch him day in and day out, even when they weren't playing well, he was a guy that was just supercharged. So, I would give it to Altuve at this point.
Any argument for Kershaw as a Cy Young in the National League?
No, not at all.
And in the American League, who do you have?
Well, I'll tell you what. I know he doesn't have the lowest ERA, but I think the guy that has been at the top of the list and kept his team in it too. But that's kind of the mode we're going. It's definitely Chris Sale. Mm. He has a lot of wins, but his ERA to me is a little bit higher because he goes out and he goes deep into ball games. And so I always look at that a little bit different. I look what he means to the club and where would he be if he's with a club that scores more runs. They're going to take an inning or two away from him because they don't have the greatest bullpen either. So to me, the Cy Young right now for me, I would give to Chris Sale in the American League.
And finally, the rookies of the year. I have Corey Seager in the National League and Michael Fulmer in the American League.
Those are hard to argue with. I don't know if I know Duvall from Cincinnati has some service time. I don't know if he qualifies, but you can throw him in that mix too as a younger player that has been. I mean, he's playing for Cincinnati, but you watch his swing and it's super. What he's been able to do this first half has been incredible.
Cal, moving away from the midseason awards, I wanted to get your thoughts on something that I was reading. Tom Verducci had an article about Jason Hayward and the fact that he's hitting the ball with softer contact than even he did last year, and the Cubs are concerned and they can't overhaul his swing midseason, but there's a possibility that they're going to try to do that in the offseason. My question to you is, how difficult is it to try to overhaul a swing of a 28-year-old player?
Well, the Cubs knew what they were getting. They should have known what they were getting. Last year, he finished second in the National League as far as softest contact. And he's a huge guy. That's just the way his swing is. He gets hits, but when you have that soft contact and you're not getting hits, then you have to look at, they paid him $100 million to play defense in right field. And I don't disagree. I know even John Mabry for the St. Louis Cardinals, their hitting coach there, is like, he needs changes, but Jason wasn't really that open to changes. And I think he's capable of doing that. I think he doesn't realize what a great athlete he is and that he could make those changes. But if I'm the Cubs and I've paid him that amount of money, I want to make changes. I thought maybe they would try to do that even before he played for them, but I guess they give him a chance to fail and then hopefully make the changes. I think he could be a prolific guy that drives the ball, hits a lot of home runs. I'd even take that low average with a lot of home runs.
And that kind of leads me to my next question. As someone who works with minor leaguers, was it just a fact of him as a super prospect? Because I remember he was in the Futures game in St. Louis, I think it was 7 years back in 2009, and people were talking about him as the next big thing, a Ken Griffey Jr. type, just ridiculous expectations for this guy because he's an elite athlete. He looks like he should hit for power. Was it just a matter of him not wanting to make changes in his swing, or did no one kind of try to overhaul it at a young age when he was coming up as a 19 or 20-year-old in the Braves system?
Well, I'll tell you what. We could do an entire show on the issues dealing with trying to change kids and help kids and make them better in the minor leagues. But I will say this. lots of times these kids come in, even when they, especially kids that have had a lot of success, and they've either worked with a high school coach or a personal hitting coach, and they just want to stay with what they've been taught. And that's part of that was what went on with Jason. He got off to a hot start, had a couple really good year and a half to start his career, and then things started going the other way. Well, the leg figures you out. You have to make those changes. He needs to make changes. You get younger players, and they realize that they need to realize at some point that the league's going to make adjustments to them. Yes, that's got them to a certain point with the way they do things, and I don't see his swing even close to a Ken Griffey Jr. Ken Griffey Jr. grew up around it, and it was just his was such a sweet swing. He used his athleticism. In his swing, Jason doesn't use his athleticism. But it is really tough when these kids come in, the minor league kids, and all they've done is gone from showcase to showcase to showcase to showcase the talent. But now you've got to do it over and over again against the same competition, and it becomes tough. And it's really hard sometimes. The kids have to buy in, just like Jason would have to buy into a change and believe in it to really make a change that would count.
Dan from Switzer on the text line, pitchers shouldn't be able to win the MVP. To me, the Cy Young Award is their MVP. I think
I think we agree with that. Do you agree with that, Mark?
Unless you have a Bob Gibson-esque season.
Yeah, it would take something pretty amazing, which, to your point, Alex, Kershaw has been pretty close in the first half.
All-Star break top five, Cal. Give it to us.
Well, this is an interesting one because I looked at it, and we've talked about some of these teams. There's some teams, guys, that are not in the top five that are playing really well. And Houston, the Dodgers, Toronto, Boston, Pittsburgh, these are teams that are playing really well. Teams that I think will probably be touching this top five before the season's over with. But I think the number five team has got a little moving around from last week. But the Cleveland Indians, they're still in the top five. They were 4-6 in their last 10. They've lost two in a row going into the break. But I still think with their starting pitching, they're going to have a tough time in that American League Central, but I think they deserve number five. Number four is the Chicago Cubs. And number three is the Washington Nationals. But I only put the Nationals above the Cubs, guys, because of the 24 straight games that the Cubs played in a row without a break. But the Nationals seem to match up really good with the Chicago Cubs. So I think if it goes head-to-head, the Nationals come out on the top of that. And then the top two, the Texas Rangers. I still have the Rangers there, but I'm not arguing with you, Mark, that they could get caught in their own division by the Houston Astros. And they actually played 36 games with only one day off going into the break. So it's been tough on them. But really, the class of the major leagues right now are the San Francisco Giants with the way they're playing and being an even year, guys. We kind of know what that means.
Great stuff, Cal, as usual. We appreciate you joining us from Arizona, and enjoy the game tonight.
You bet, and for all those people, the high school baseball playoffs start in Iowa, started this week, so get out there and root for your team.
Mount Vernon, number 10.
Yeah, we're sneaking in there. They got a lot of work to do. There's good clubs in 3A.
Sounds good, Cal. Appreciate it.
You bet.
Cal Eldred joining us on the Gym Class, talking all things baseball. 3:47, let's get to a break. When we come back, we'll have more on the Gym Class.
If you're suffering from tired feet or aching legs at the end of the day, then relief is on the way with Tommy Copper socks. And right now, you can get 20% off your first pair. Tommy Copper compression socks are strategically designed to help alleviate pain and aid muscle recovery with graduated compression from your ankle up through your calf and help support your arch, heel, and Achilles. So whether you're at work, play, or traveling, you'll enjoy all-day comfort and relief from aches and pains you never thought possible. Tommy Copper's unique design keeps the band from rolling or pinching, and every pair is knitted with top quality yarns, incorporating our breakthrough anti-odor copper Zenergy technology. Right now, we're introducing our most comfortable socks ever, available for men and women in athletic, dress, or wool styles. Once you glide into a pair, we guarantee your feet will never feel the same. Go to TommyCopperRadio.com and enter promo code SPORTS for 20% off your first pair and get free shipping. That's TommyCopperRadio.com, promo code SPORTS. TommyCopperRadio.com.
Beating the heat, it's what summer's all about. And at AutoZone, we know that with your car's battery, it's not about staying cool, it's about staying tough. Heat causes battery fluid to evaporate, which corrodes your battery's insides. That's why Duralast batteries are designed and tested to start in extreme temperatures. How extreme? How does 167 degrees sound? So beat the summer heat with a battery that'll last. Get yourself a Duralast battery, sold only at AutoZone. Hoods up, America.
Get in the zone, AutoZone!
Progressive presents Mindflowness with Flo.
You are in the driver's seat, in complete control, in life and on the road. Your driving record is impeccable, and for this, you are greatly rewarded with Snapshot from Progressive. You use your savings to buy a World's Best Driver t-shirt. It runs a little small.
The more righteous you drive, the more you can save with Snapshot from Progressive. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Snapshot not available in all states or from all agents.
Come rock the chalk in downtown Iowa City. This first ever chalk art event is presented by Midwest One Bank. All the fun is free for the whole family with chalk art displays, a space to create your own, food, live music, and a nifty history walk. Midwest One Bank's Rock the Chalk is in celebration of completing restoration of their historic building on South Clinton Street and construction of a new building just four blocks away. Celebrate with them Friday, August 12th. Midwest One Bank's Rock the Chalk. Details at rockthechalkic.com.
I can't help but notice you're listening to the radio. Right on. The radio's pretty cool. Until you get out of the car. Cars, man. They're like the world's heaviest radio. That's why I got this app, Next Radio. It lets me use the FM receiver that's built into my phone so I can listen to local radio wherever I take my phone, which is everywhere. Uninterrupted listening from car to sidewalk using less data and battery than streaming apps. Next Radio, live and local wherever you go. Check supported devices and download the free app today from Google Play.
Two hosts born and raised in Eastern Iowa, talking Eastern Iowa sports. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class, KGYM.
And two guys not playing Pokemon Go. I heard more about that last night than I, you know, we talked about a little bit on the show. I had no idea what was going on.
Did you notice
world news tonight and local news? They're all over it.
Did you notice people walking around last night?
No,
now that
but
I mentioned
talked
it?
To Todd about it, and yeah,
it's kind of scary. I imagine if the apocalypse were to happen and people were to walk around oblivious, it would look a lot like it does right now with people playing that ridiculous game.
3:51 on the Gym Class. Mark Dukes and Alex Kuhn with you. Scott Unash on vacation. Petco Park in San Diego, the site of tonight's Major League All-Star Game. We'll have it for you. Beginning with the pregame at 6 o'clock as the APC takes an early out, yielding to Major League Baseball coverage. And among the show guests on the APC today, Alex?
We've got Roman Stubbs from the Washington Post, who covers Maryland football as our Coach's Corner countdown to kickoff continues. And also Rob Howe from Hawkeye Nation will join the show to talk a little recruiting, a little Iowa football recruiting, as they picked up one of the biggest commitments in the Kirk Ferentz era, some say.
Apparently so. Media days have begun, and you pointed this out to me before the show, SEC Media Days. And Dan Mullen, Mississippi State coach, getting torched. Why?
Well, he allowed a player who was arrested for beating a woman on there was evidence. Obviously, it was on video of him punching a woman several times. He was a recruit. He was allowed to enroll at Mississippi State despite the charges by Dan Mullen, and he will be receiving just a one-game suspension. He was grilled about this at SEC Media Day, asked several tough questions, good questions by the media in attendance down in Hoover, Alabama, and he didn't answer these questions very transparently or candidly or respectfully in a manner that many people think that he should have.
For example, he said he was asked, if it's your wife or your daughter who Simmons hit, would you feel the same way about him? And Mullen said, I think he's a young man who deserves the opportunity. I have the opportunity to help mold him.
And a little background, Jeffrey Simmons is the recruit in question. He was a five-star recruit, I believe a tight end prospect. And basically, he was, at first, the video shows him breaking up a fight between his sister and another female. And then he goes a step further and starts punching the female. So it was a terrible situation, and Dan Mullen did not handle the onslaught of questions very well when asked at SEC Media Day.
Seems like a one-game suspension is a little lenient, don't you?
Yeah, you would think so. And the question arises that if he gets in trouble again, is it Dan Mullen's responsibility? Because he had an out. He had a chance to rid himself of this player. And apparently, the player has done some good things at the university and trying to get himself in the good graces of the university and of the community since he has arrived on campus in Starkville. But Dan Mullen didn't want to talk about that because he said, and I quote, it would be making excuses for him. So it not a good day for Dan Mullen. And I think back about a year to Big Ten Media Day last year when Tim Beckman was being railroaded and asked about several of the transgressions that went on in Champaign, and he handled that very poorly as well. Mm-hmm. So I drew several parallels in that respect.
Big Ten Media Day is coming up August 6th, and we'll be all over that in Chicago with the APC and yourself, Alex, attending that, the only radio station, I believe, at least last year, in Iowa to do so.
Yeah, it will be July 25th and July 26th.
I'm sorry,
in
Iowa's
Chicago.
Media Day is August 6th.
And
yeah,
we will be there as well. So a lot of football media information coming up here on the gym class and on the APC in the coming weeks. I'm excited for that.
Tomorrow we'll be out and about. Lunchbox Heroes will be at Cargill West, that plant, and observing the construction being done there and feeding more than 100 workers, as I understand it. Myself, Todd Bromkamp, Tyler Ryder, Alex Kuhn, rest of the station personnel will be there and feeding the workers lunch and having some conversation, distributing some prizes, and basically thanking them for the work they're doing in the corridor.
Now, we were there last year, correct?
I believe so.
And I think it was you and Scott who were there. I'm excited to see the progress that has taken place over the past year. It's always cool to go to a place where it's just being developed, the project is just starting, and then return a year later to see the progress. And I always take extra satisfaction in that.
CRST building downtown is one example. We were there 2, 3, 4 times. I don't know, but that's near completion. And we were there when it was first getting started. So I see what you mean there. Yeah.
Although I wasn't. I think we've been there 3 times. I was there right in the middle of that project.
Okay.
So absolutely.
Poll question today. Visit KGYMradio.com and vote in the poll question brought to you by Emo's Hideaway. The question is, if I can refresh, please. Thanks to Emo's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast for presenting the poll question. Which league claims home field advantage in the World Series tonight, American or National? What do you think?
Here, let me get this coin out of my pocket and I'll flip this, actually. So, heads, American, tails, National. It's tails, so I'll go with the National League.
I think National League, too, but I'm an American League guy, and I'll continue to root for them and see how much of the game I can handle.
You know, I always have trouble picking these games, especially when nobody plays for more than 2 innings. So,
Chris Liss of rotowire.com will join us on the show tomorrow, along with a recap of the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. Todd Bromkamp will be sitting in with me, Alex Kuhn, getting some video in audio in Iowa City. So tune in tomorrow on the Gym Class, KGYM.
Hey, it's Richard Sherman, all-pro cornerback for the Seattle Seahawks. When the little voice in my stomach gets hungry, he talks.